everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek. We're here to talk about the Packers' 31-29 loss to the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. And Eric, it's funny, I've gotten some mixed responses from emails and checking out Twitter. Some people think this game exposed the Packers somehow, and some aren't too worried about the loss. What'd you think?
Great question right off the bat. You're going to try to get me. I feel like coming out of this ball game that there's a lot of positive stuff to feel good about. I know it seems strange, but sometimes a good loss, and I would categorize this as a good loss, is always sometimes better than a bad victory because it teaches you. What did you learn? You learned that in this particular offense, in the way that they played the previous 2 weeks, that you gotta take the ball under center, and you gotta run some play action pass, and you gotta sometimes the better part of valor is to be, you know, kind of, you know, stick within the system and be a little bit of a check down Charlie once in a while. And then defensively, I think they learned that, you know what, you got to hit the quarterback and let the guys on the back end, let them go out there and play. You try to protect them too much and keep everybody covered up, and it does not translate into a successful afternoon. And once they started heating up the quarterback at the end of the second quarter, you saw the tide change. So I think those are some key things to take away from this ball game. And there's probably a few more that you can take away too. And one would, for me personally, would be, and I know we said this now, this is the fourth straight week, but Edgerrin Cooper, man, got to find a way to get him on the field more often. And sometimes, you know, I think what we learned last year with the young team and young players, you just got to throw them out there and take the good with the bad and let them learn.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons for drafting him pretty high, you know, first in the first half of the second round, is that he can add, even though he's an off-ball linebacker, he can add something to your pass rush. And he's shown some explosiveness doing that. And I think if they play him some and get him out there in the nickel a little more, you know, if he makes a couple plays, then amongst other things, those plays will help you. But also defenses or offenses will have to start game planning to be aware of the guy. And, you know, that might make, you know, that makes other players on the defense better. So, yeah, I'm with you all the way there. It does look like I was checked the snap count. I think he played about 20 snaps in that game, which is, I think, his highest of the season so far.
Correct.
So it does look like they're playing him more now, or they're trending towards playing him more as the season goes on.
Yeah, and they got to continue that. You know, I think that Eric Wilson will eventually just play himself off the field, period. Go run down punt returns and kickoffs and block on punt and kick return teams in great spot. Do a great job. Be Simon Sure in there. But when it comes down to playing on defense, I think they got to just wake up and say, listen, this is, we got a rookie out here and we're going to get him in. And he's going to make some mental mistakes. But it's the physicality that he brings to the ball game is really there isn't anyone else in that unit other than, you know, Quay Walker, who brings a different kind of physicality to the field. But, you got to get that guy out there. He is powerful, explosive, like you said, and he's a big body. And those things, they don't just grow on trees.
When you say Quay Walker with physicality, I assume you're talking more about just speed than you are physicalness.
Oh yeah, wait. I mean, he runs to the football better than anyone else on the field, and he's got explosive of speed, and he's got height, and he's got, you know, he's got long arms and plays very long. But obviously, just a head cruncher. That's not his style. But Cooper, he kind of is. You know, and he's, I think he, his explosiveness, and he's a big man, and he's a grown man, and he deserves to be on the field, in my opinion.
You know, we've said this the last couple of weeks, but they learned last year about playing talented, really young players. And if they are talented, if you play them now, you are rewarded in December and January. And so I got to think the same would be with for this guy, because he's pretty talented. Let's move along to the big topic. You know, quarterback is obviously, you know, almost everything in this league. What do you think about Jordan Love? They bring him back too early?
No, you know, and that's – I know this comes as a surprise, right? Because I'm the guy that if you can lace your shoes, you should get out there and play. But I don't think so. I think they had to get him out there. It's week four, really. And you know this as well as anybody, that the NFL is now – the first 3 or 4 weeks are they're pretty much considered preseason games. You're kind of feeling what you got. How are they going to react to unscouted looks? You know, all those kind of things. That's just kind of what it takes. And the way it is in the NFL right now, I mean, you go back 15 years and game three of the preseason was like the coveted preseason game. If there could be a preseason game to go to, because the starters usually played into the fourth quarter. They don't do that anymore. I mean, those guys are lucky to get a snap or two all season long with some of the big guys. So this is their first real action. And, you know, 4 weeks into it, I don't think it was a bad thing at all to play him. Now, it took away from some of the things that they could do offensively. You know, obviously there was not going to be an RPO. Play action pass was almost nil. But they had chances to win that football game. There were more than enough times that game, they had enough there to win. You know, he threw three picks. A couple bad decisions. You know, there are a drop touchdown and a bad pass in the end zone away from winning that ball game. Not to mention, what's that?
A couple of field goals too. But
we were going to save that one for a weekly kicker update.
We will get to that later.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think it was the reason why some of those things didn't happen, or some of the they weren't successful on some of those plays, isn't because he was hurt, because some of those decisions were just not very good. And you got a receiver out there that if it hits you, it bounces off your chest and you don't catch it. Boy, I hope he just catches hell today from the locker room, everybody riding him and teasing him, because that was a they still get their game check. Of course you want to win, but I mean, you still get the paycheck. You got to tease that guy. I mean, come on. If it bounces off your chest, you better catch it. And those are a couple of plays that could have changed the outcome of the game. And, you know, a bad decision, bad drop, a really stupid interception. You know, those things kind of take place. And, you know, that's not an injury situation. That is basically, you know, take off the Superman shirt and let's go out and just keep the chains moving and take the plays that are going to get you the first downs. You don't have to try to be the league MVP. You don't have to do any of that. Just keep the chains moving and put the pressure on the defense. Eventually they will crack.
You know, the interception that he threw to Wicks in the fourth quarter, there was a little over 6 minutes left, I think. That reminded me so much of the interception he threw against the 49ers last year.
Right.
Where he took a chance that you just don't need to take. There's plenty of time left. And in that instance, there was still, you know, a little less than a minute left, and they only needed a field goal. So he didn't need to throw that ball on the run, just float it down the middle. And this one, you know, he had Harrison Smith barreling at him, but he didn't have to throw it up for grabs because the Vikings had seven guys at the line of scrimmage. The middle of the field was wide open. And you pointed this out to me. And then when I watched the coach's film today, I mean, Tucker Kraft is wide open for a 10-yard pass underneath. And the DB or the safety is a good, I don't know, 8 yards off him, something like that.
I think it was greater than that.
Yeah, it might have been 10. He catches that. If he avoids that, if he could avoid the tackle, I don't know if he would or not, but he's pretty good with the ball in his hands. If he avoids that tackle, he might score.
Yeah, be a tight end. Catch it and fall down. That's all you got to do in that instance.
Yeah. Right?
And the, a decision that was poor. Had nothing to do with the injury and bringing him back playing too soon. I think that's an example to me of a good learning experience. You got it. A tough situation. Now two instances very close with the 49er game. And then again yesterday, where the game has got to slow down for you between your ears and just sit back. You know what? You're going to get leveled whether you throw it deep or you throw it for a first down. It doesn't matter. You don't have to win the ball game in one throw, But we'll never know because he throws a pick, he catches that ball, he throws it to the tight end, and it goes for 12, 15 yards, first down. We don't know because it didn't happen because, unfortunately, he threw it up. And those are the situations that young quarterbacks, when you hear about the game has to slow down, that's where the game has to slow down. He knows he's got that tight end there, and he likes to throw deep, which in most circumstances, because of they sent so many guys, they only had three guys deep. You know, they had a vanilla cover three on the back end. So you had cornerback, safety, cornerback. Each guy was occupied by a guy. So you had the typical one-on-one, probably a really good decision to throw it up. However, Wicks had it all day long. He's been a backboard. So maybe that's not the right idea, or especially maybe not that's the might not be the right receiver to throw to in that situation. But let the game slow down and just, you know, you got a guy in the middle that's probably going to be sure handy. He's going to be available. Throw it to him and move the chains. And those are the things that make good quarterbacks great and great quarterbacks super. Got to know where your guys are on the field, and the game has got to slow down.
You know, it's starting to make a little more sense to me. You know, Love had the really good sophomore year in college, and then he came back the next year and he lost. Like, I think he might have been the only guy returning on offense. I mean, if it wasn't that, there was two guys. He lost basically everybody, and he threw all those interceptions. And I think it was, you know, what you talked about when you and I talked on the phone today. He's trying to be a hero, and you know that doesn't work. I mean, Will Levis is the prime example of that, but you know, he doesn't have to be with this team. They've got talent around him, and he can take the checkdowns more or the shorter passes. His arm talent will still show through as the season going. But there were also two. He tried to hit Melton on two deep shots, one in the second quarter, one in the third quarter, and neither one was there. The guy wasn't even open. So what do you think, what do you think he's thinking there in throwing those balls when one was on a fourth down when he had Kraft open underneath for a first down, the other was on first and 18. And instead of hitting somebody underneath to pick up 8 or 10 yards, he throws deep and it's incomplete. And it's now it's second and 18. And you know, if you were behind the sticks at one first and 18, you know, second 18 and 18 is a disaster.
Well, you got, I don't care what anybody says, there's still a shadow out there with number 12 on it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
let's face it. Those things aren't just, you know, you don't care what anybody says. So he's got to be better than Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think he needs to be Aaron Rodgers. I think he needs to be Jordan Love. And the system is good. There are usually guys open, but the way that they do their play action – and their route combinations, it's pretty quarterback friendly. Don't make it hard. But on the other end of it, if you don't throw the big deep pass and you don't, you know, those things don't happen, now you're not on ESPN and you're not on everybody's Twitter feed with the great throw and, you know, all the guys on sports radio and doing what we're doing right now aren't singing your praises for hitting the 8-yard dump. But if you want to be a stud in this league, you got to take the 8-yard dump along with the 50-yard bomb. And that's the reality. And he's a young guy and he's going to make more bad decisions. But my guess is he's going to learn. And, you know, we thought maybe he would learn from Frisco, but it's going to have to sink in. Otherwise this is what you're going to get. But think about this. The fact that they were down 28-0, were in a at halftime, and they were in a position to win the football game is still a testament to that quarterback and that offensive staff and the way the defense played in the second half. That's great. Those are great things. It's too bad that a couple of stupid decisions and a bad bounce off your chest can change the game in a very bad way. But you know, so you can't. I don't think they were exposed. I think they woke up and realized that, listen, we don't have to, we can take chances on defense with our top cornerback out and our top backup out. You know, they can do those things and they don't have to play so conservative. And then on the offensive side of the ball, they just got to execute better on occasion.
you know, they struggled scoring in the first half. They missed the kick on the first possession and all that. But what really jumped out on is on the other side of the ball. I mean, it was just kind of a disaster to giving up three straight touchdown drives to start the game, four out of the first five possessions. In a nutshell, what was going on with that defense?
The quarterback didn't have a timer going off. He could have sat back there, cracked a beer, picked the toe jam out from between his toes, do whatever he wanted. He was not under any duress. And, you know, I think there might have been a little bit of coming into that football game thinking that their front four was better than it is, or maybe they were a little bit rough. You know, Rashawn Gary, fortunately, he looks like he's kind of on the side of a milk carton right now, you know, wondering where he is, seems to be missing. And it really just never materialized up front. And you know, when you're down 7-0 or even 14-0, I think they thought they needed to really sit back and protect that secondary. And I think that was, they obviously showed that was a mistake, because second part of the second quarter, they started coming after it a little bit, very modestly at the beginning. But then by the end of the game, they're sending Xavier McKinney. I mean, they're throwing the sink at this guy, and it was successful. You got to heat these guys up. And some quarterbacks, you know, listen, you can say what you want about Darnold. He was a, you know, first round draft pick. The guy was, you know, there's something there that everybody liked. For whatever reason, it didn't ever materialize. Well, it's materializing now. And I think teams are really frightened of those two receivers. You got two really good receivers back there, and you don't want to stick them on an island, because that could really be disastrous. But on the other hand, you got to kind of, you know, got to hedge your bet a little bit and heat the quarterback up and see what happens. And look, what happened was when they heated him up, bad things happened for the Vikings, and they scored 3 points. So imagine if they would have started doing that at the end of the first quarter. You know, now it's everybody's doing cartwheels and singing Goobaya because the Packers win. But, you know, ifs and buts for candy and nuts, everything would be much better. But they have got to understand early on they have to make adjustments sooner. And I think the learning lesson from this was, as a D coordinator and a defensive staff, is you got to be who you are. If you're a blitzing team and all of a sudden we decide we're just going to sit back in coverage, that's not who you are. That's not where they're making their hay. They're making their hay when they're getting guys after it and they're getting the quarterback on the ground, whether they're sending backers or safeties or cornerbacks, you know, free safeties. You don't see that very often. Put them down, heat them up.
Here's some numbers for you. So after we talked, because, you know, we talked that this would be one of the things we'd write about. So watching the first half, I charted, there were 19 pass plays. Three of them were nullified by penalties, but the plays played out, and one of them was a scramble, and the rest were passes. So 19 of them, and they did a conventional straight four-man rush, two ends, two tackles, on 15 of those 19 plays, and they blitzed on four, and they didn't have any plays where, you know, they sent a linebacker and dropped a lineman or anything like that. That's the first half, and the guy finished with the first half, I got to look it up here, but I think it was 140 passer rating, three touchdowns, no interceptions. And then in the second half, they didn't go crazy, but they started doing some of those unconventional combinations, like Walker got a sack on a blitz where I think it was Enigbare dropped back. Nixon had the strip sack on a blitz where maybe it was Preston Smith dropped back. So they did change that approach. You know, the question is, do you think they had the 8 sacks last week against Tennessee? First two games they played scrambling quarterbacks, so they were rushing to contain. They talked all offseason in camp about how they're going to let this defensive line attack, but do you think they got enough talent up there where the four-man rush is going to work very often, or against almost everybody, against good teams, are they just going to have to mix in some of these other ways of rushing, and like you said, start doing it in the first quarter instead of the third?
Well, you got to look at the way that the Vikings were blocking. You know, they weren't just sending everybody out. They were keeping 6-7 guys in the block.
Yeah, they did a lot of chipping.
7 on 4 or 6 on 4, it's a little bit tight. you know, and they were successful because those two guys out on the ends are pretty darn good. Yeah. Those guys on the perimeter are really solid players. And at, you know, and the other point is, shoot, we're losing 28-0. What the hell's the difference? Let's go after it. You know, and I think maybe that type of attitude, don't play safe. Let's get after it. Are things is that they're going to have to do better. And my guess is they're going to do things differently going forward. But I, you know, it's a little bit of a cat and mouse game too. Cause if you start blitzing now, all of a sudden that back leaks out and you got open holes. You know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, because the bad thing about blitzing is if I send a backer or two backers, I got zones wide open. And you got to try to cover that a little bit. Doesn't matter if the quarterback's on the ground or if he's running around, that those things happen. But what happens if he doesn't? Now you can leak a tight end out. You can leak that stupid running back out, and you get, there's holes there. And, that, and you sit on the sideline and you call, you know, a blitz. Now, but for whatever reason, that defensive coordinator, I mean, he's got testicles of steel, because he'll sometimes blitz 7-8 guys and you're sitting there in cover zero. But, you know, if you feel good enough about what you're going to do up front and get it done, then, you know, you're going to commit to it. A lot of times you're going to be really good. And it's those one or two times where they're going to nail you that you sit on the sideline and go, boy, maybe we shouldn't have done that. But, you know, they've been successful to this point. Now we'll see what happens as the season goes along.
I wonder if the offenses are going to catch up with this, at least the ones with good quarterbacks, by November, if they'll have caught up with this.
I think so. I mean, there's always going to – I mean, but, you know, a tiger's not a tiger if it ain't got stripes, right? So you're going to I'm wondering if there's any more cliches I can pull out tonight. But anyways, the reality with that is, Pete, that, you know, they're going to keep doing what they do. And they're going to live and die by it. And so far they've been successful. And it's going to come down to if your offensive line, if you can keep – 5 offensive linemen and block 5 of those guys. And I think the running quarterbacks may have a little bit more success against that than the standard traditional guy standing back there and throwing.
I wonder how this game goes if Malik Willis had started. points would have been awful tough to come by for the Green Bay Packers.
I think so too. But you want to get him out of that mugged up thing on third down. You run play action pass.
Yeah.
The Packers just couldn't do it. You know, they had a quarterback that's, you know, could move around pretty good, you know, but not the same when you can't run play action pass. And really, with a knee like that, you don't want him twisting and turning. And when you're running play action pass, a lot of times you got to turn your back to the defense and you got to twist and turn. And that's not a situation you want to put him in.
Yeah, LaFleur said today, or actually it was after the game yesterday, that, you know, he wasn't under center a lot for a reason. They were going to do a lot of pistol formation, and then they ended up doing a lot of that in shotgun anyway because they were so far behind. But I think that was the plan anyway going into this one. I guess, you know, one other thing I want to talk about was Aaron Jones returning to Lambeau Field. What'd you think of him?
Good for him. You know, I think he was a fan favorite, and I think everybody, I mean, very talented individual. But here's the part where, you know what, Viking fans, I hope you enjoy it right now because it's really good. And when he's healthy, he's really good. And his vision and his cutback ability and his ability to change directions was. And every once in a while, he'd run with his pads down between the lines, between the guards, and it looked pretty good. But here's the problem. This is something that they haven't realized yet, but they will. I'm certain enough. He had 22 carries and had 4 receptions with targeted 5 times. Putting the ball in his hands 26 times a game is not a recipe for long-term success. With that man, great running back, does a lot of great things. But we've seen him play long enough. 15, 20 times a game is like the limit. You know, the expiration date is 20. You get over 20 and it's ugly. And he had the ball 26 times. And I will promise you, as much as the sun's going to come up in the east, he is definitely not going to make the season touching the ball that many times.
I think even 20 is high. I'm thinking about 17 is the number you're looking for. And so I checked on this, and he's got 80 touches for the season. So he's averaging 20. So he was above his average for this game. So maybe they did it because he was returning here and they wanted to have him have a really big day. I don't know if that would actually enter their thinking or not. But either way, I still think even 20 is high, and there's going to be an injury in here. He's either going to miss, you know, some games in the middle of the year, or he's going to get hurt late. And if that happens, I mean, the whole reason to bring him in is so he's on the field in December and January, and to not have him in January would be a catastrophe.
Oh, because you saw the difference when he wasn't in the ball game.
Oh,
when he was, yeah, they can't run the ball. I mean, it's just it to me was amazing that they gave him the ball that many times. You know, I kept thinking to myself, because I remember last year the alarm clock in our heads would go off when they hit 15. It's like, whoa, you gave him 15 times, you know, throttle this back until they got to the playoffs, and then we're like, just give it to him until he gets hurt again. So it's interesting, and I hope the Vikings, you know, you never wish bad will for anybody. You don't wish for someone to get hurt, but hopefully these guys understand that 26 times in one game is not a recipe for longevity for that guy.
I'm going to keep an eye on that as the season goes on and see if they keep even 20 times a game, see if they keep feeding it to him that much. Because if I'm them, I'm trying to keep it to about 16 a game. I'm 16 or 17 at the most.
Right.
You know, is Justin Jefferson, I wonder if he's the best receiver in the league. I mean, there's him, there's Chase. God, there's one other person, one other great receiver I'm not thinking
Jayden of. Reed.
He's climbing that ladder for sure. Yeah, well, DK Metcalf is on tonight. He looks like he's pretty talented guy.
CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah,
there's some names out there that are some really tremendous athletes.
I think it's either Jefferson or Chase myself.
Yeah, I would say as far as production goes, yeah.
You know, so isn't that amazing? They were on the same college team, right? Both in LSU.
That's ridiculous. It's hard because I can't stand that color purple. I'm sorry. It's almost as bad as pink. Maybe slightly worse than pink. It's just I have a hard time. But he is one heck of a good football player.
That catch that got overturned, where they said he was out of bounds at first, and then they showed the replay.
Yeah,
I mean that was amazing to tap that toe down like that.
He's special. So and then you got Addison right alongside him. He's no slouch.
No,
so
he's not.
The challenge is. So when you're looking at this offense, how are we going to slow it down? And you got that scat back Jones out there who decides to run with some power on occasion too, is, you know, what are you going to take away? You know, and I think they were afraid of those receivers. So they played pretty straight up vanilla just didn't want to expose their back end. And until they decided to uncork it a little bit, you know, they struggled.
Well, it's that time.
Is it really?
It is.
It is weekly kicker update?
Weekly kicker update.
Yes! All right, here we are. So according to the final statistics of Minnesota Vikings versus the Green Bay Packers, there were 2 field goal attempts and made 0. But extra points were perfect. So congratulations, kicker.
Misses from 37 and 49.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Both to the right, one off the upright, and one a yard or two wide.
Yeah, that's just brutal. There must be a magnet on that right goalpost this year for the Packers kickers because they're struggling. You know, so I think back of the day, Pete, when Forrest Gregg was here. And it was like kicker missed a field goal or extra point. And the next day you saw it usually for the morning news, you can tell he was already cut. My guess is he was probably cut in the locker room I don't know. It was a long time ago. We could ask Cliff Kristol. He might be able to tell us.
He probably would know. Yep.
Yeah, right. And he'd be able to tell us the year and the order that the guys were there. The Max Zendejas, Tony Zendejas, those guys ring a bell. But I you know, the question is this: do you fish or cut bait with this guy? And I think you got to keep fishing. I think you got to let it go another week or two, because I just don't think you want to be that football team that's got a kicker every couple weeks. Right?
Yeah. You know, LaFleur today, after the game, he stood up for him, and he did again today in his press conference. And maybe the most interesting thing that came out of it was he was asked, you know, what are you seeing that makes you want to, you know, that have some confidence in him still? And they said what he's doing on the practice field. And he was asked, is that something you didn't see last year, or is it better than what you saw last year? And he said, yeah, meaning this guy's kicking better in practice than Carlson is. So they're sticking with them. You know, after we talked, we went through all this stuff. I started thinking, I can't remember if I actually said this to you when we were on the phone discussing this, but if I'm them, I'm sticking with them for a few more weeks. And if it doesn't go well at the trade deadline, I think it's November 2nd, somewhere in there. If it doesn't go well, when you get close to that trade deadline, I'm starting to figure out a way to trade with a team that's out of it and see if they'll trade a pretty established kicker. Teams aren't giving those guys away. Could be expensive, but if the Packers are going good and they feel like they got a chance, I could really see doing that. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, Has anyone, you know, this is a good one for you. Has anyone ever traded for a kicker mid-season?
I don't know. That is a really good question. I mean, it must have happened at some point, right?
I don't know.
But I can't. I mean, of course, nothing. I can't think of that happening off the top of my head. But and teams aren't going to, you know, even if they've given up on this year, if they really like their kicker, they're going to want him back next year. So they're not going to just be giving a kicker away like they might, you know, an offense backup offensive lineman or whatever. So
well, apparently there's something in the water up here. When Mason Crosby left, he poisoned the water or something, because we can't get anybody here to kick consistently for a bit. But, you know, got a pretty good quarterback. I guess if you leave it up to a kicker to win a ball game, that's your own damn fault. You know, that's the only time you like him is after they win the ball game. You know, just give me a break.
I know you don't like them. You know, you scoff at kickers, but they matter, don't they? I mean, make both those kicks last yesterday, and who knows who wins this game, right?
Yeah, don't drop a ball that bounces off your chest in the end zone, and you win the ball game too, right?
The one other guy worth mentioning, yeah, and Wicks dropped a third down pass early in the game that ended a drive. So sure. The one other guy to keep in mind is they've got this Alex Hale on the practice squad at Oklahoma State. He hasn't kicked in the NFL before, but he's on their practice squad. You know, if he ends up going through a hot streak or lighting it up in practice, maybe they'll give him a shot too.
So how does that work then? You're the guru guy and all this good stuff. Do you have to cut Narison to demote him to the practice squad, or how does that work?
No. Well, they could cut anybody they wanted, or you get each player can be called up from the practice squad three times during the season and then move back down without exposing him to the waiver wire. So they could bring him up for a game for a week and then activate him on game day and make Narison inactive on game day.
So that means you got two kickers on your 53.
Yeah, and actually it would be when you move guys up, it's if you move two guys up, your roster for game day is actually 55, you know, because you don't have to get rid of, you don't have to cut anybody to move those guys up for three times. So yeah,
they just make me puke if I'd had two kickers on my active roster.
Yeah. You know, I remember there was a day when a few teams kept two kickers on their 53. I don't know if anyone ever did it for the full season. They'd have one guy, a kickoff specialist.
Hey, Packers had two punters.
Oh, that was That was unforgivable. That was incredible.
You think that's why Sherman got the X?
It was. It would have been justifiable. No, I don't think that's why he got the X. But it would have been.
Can you imagine the ribbing that guy got? Just think of all of his contemporaries teasing him, like, dude, you seriously kept two punters.
Yeah, and BJ Sander they were holding on to him, and he just wasn't quite an NFL punter. He just didn't quite have the pop in his legs. So that was a fool's errand keeping him.
There we go. There's another cliche. Awesome.
Fool's errand.
Yeah, we're gonna have to keep track of this next week.
We'll have to have a bell, and we can ding it every time somebody says a cliche, maybe a 50-cent fine or something to go with.
I don't know if we have enough money in our budget for the production of that bell.
We probably don't. But yeah, next week the LA Rams. Just that McVay announced today, Cooper Kupp will not be playing.
Oh.
So there's no Kupp. There's no Puka Nacua. He's on IR. That's two really good receivers. Yeah. I'm not sure what their offensive line deal is right now. They had two or three starters out as of last week. I don't know who played yesterday. I mean, this is you got to win this game if you're the Packers, right? With a team that's banged up.
Yeah. Yeah. They're more like the Lambs right now, right?
Yeah. You know, it's not who you play, it's when you play them, the old Bud Grant saying.
Yeah. I think there's an opportunity, ding, ding, that we could. That they could be pretty good out there. They'd be all right. You know, obviously they're going to play a depleted offense and they should be all right. Probably pretty soundly.
I haven't seen the spread yet. Well, I won't ask you to make a pick right now because that's too hard to do. Just, winging it off the top of your head. But I think we covered a lot of ground there, Eric.
Yeah, certainly. We got the kicker thing beat to death. Cannot wait till next week to another stunning rendition of weekly kicker update, man. This is great.
This is not going away.
Nope.
This will be here. This will be with us all season. So I bet all our listeners are as excited about this as we are.
Oh, for sure. Especially if they know us, they know how much we love kickers. Or at least you like kickers.
I don't mind kickers. They're good to talk to in the locker room.
Why? Because you can see eye to eye with them.
Yeah, amongst other things. you feel like you're as big as strong as they are.
You probably can kick their ass. Well, except for Narvison, though.
He's a sturdily built guy. You know, I asked him what sports he played in high school. I talked to him last week. Finally, he said he played golf, soccer, and football, and actually. His best sport, the sport that he said that people told him he had the most potential in, was golf.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like all these kickers. Crosby was a good golfer. Longwell's a really good golfer. Chris Jackie was a good golfer. All these kickers are good golfers. I asked Narvis
because they don't have to practice.
Well, no.
Kick a couple times and you're fresh. You go golfing.
That's not what they're – Narvison actually gave a really good answer. Because I asked him that, and he goes, yeah. He goes, I think it has a lot to do with the hip turn. It's such a huge part of kicking. And it's a huge part of the golf swing, and I think there's probably a lot to it.
Yeah. Sounds like something that belongs on Dancing with the Stars. Hip turns. Give me a break.
Well, I think that's a good place to close this with Eric expressing his contempt right. for kickers yet again.
That's right.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody for taking the time to listen to us. Remember, we'll be back again next week to discuss the Packers game in Los Angeles against the Rams. But until then, for Eric, I'm Pete. You've been listening to the After Further Review podcast. Take care, everybody.
Be good.